This is Daniel Libby reporting for CKLN with Chris Remser. We're just here at the Justice for Migrant Workers Presents. And on a personal level, how did you get involved?
I guess I got involved. I was active on campus at the University of Toronto. And through that, I went through a few labor organizing projects. And it was through that fold that we found out about the efforts in California, particularly of the United Farm Workers of America. They'd had an office here in Ontario. And around 2000, 2001, there was a wildcat strike in Leamington, Ontario. And it was basically a lot of the people who were here tonight were the ones who went down to investigate and to examine the conditions that were happening there. And that's how we all became involved, is because basically workers took action to fight for rights.
How would you describe a migrant worker?
I think there's different forms of migrant workers. There's the non-status workers, so people who are through, you know, extended visas or through different means they would come to Canada, right, and work through as non-status people. Second of all, there's people who come through these temporary programs through a form of indentureship. And that group, the Seasonal Agriculture Worker Program, there's over 20,000 people across Canada working in these fields.
What are some of the major issues that affect these migrant workers?
First, I think overall, the fact that workers cannot apply for status in Canada, they have no right to immigration or permanent residency in Canada. Second of all, there's always a threat of repatriation for even talking on a radio show like yours, right? They could be sent home or deported to their home country for standing up for their rights. Three, poor housing conditions. A lot of people have sewage, poor heating, poor ventilation. Fourth, chemicals, pesticides are prevalent in many industries, and OSHA or the health and safety laws are quite lax. Employment standards don't cover farm workers, not as equivalent to other workers in other industries, right? So stuff like overtime, holiday pays, and all type of stuff they do not get. And just it's illegal to organize, right? So it's illegal for every activity that we do. And those are the type of systems that we're fighting against. And the way that we work, we are volunteers, right? We're all, I guess, community organizers, and we do take lead from workers, right? So we develop campaigns with the workers. They take the core of how the campaign should develop. So I think that's how we start off, and we're active in various communities. And where we're not active, we coalition or ally with both other organizations here in Canada, as well as worker organizations back in their home countries.
So how can just the average Canadian citizen help out?
I think that's a really good question. So first, it's the obvious thing about awareness, right? A lot of people still are not aware about the exploitation of agriculture workers or migrant workers in general. Second of all, I think it's a two-tiered approach. One, we've got to start organizing in our communities, right? So not just looking at electoral reform, but saying that our communities have to stand up and mobilize on this. Third, we've got to hold our governments accountable. And four, we have to basically do the work to understand where our food's coming from, right? That mushrooms and tomatoes, asparagus, that there's blood associated with each one of those crops.
Just for the listeners, is how can they check out the information?
You can check out the Justicia website at JUSTICIA, migrantworkers.org. So Justicia for migrantworkers.org.
And any final words for CKLN?
I guess just people just to be aware and that we've got to fight and fight to win.
Hi, this is Daniel Libby reporting for CKLN with Stan Raper from the United Food Commercial Workers. And I was just wondering how you thought tonight's event went.
I thought it was great. I think the documentary is something that most people should watch. It's amazing how many workers are repatriated or sent home from working in our fields in Canada and end up crippled or disabled in some way, shape, or form. And their families have to deal with the carnage that we leave them with. And really no reaction from Canadian governments or the industry or anyone. I've been involved with farm worker struggles for probably about 20 years now. And I'm right now the national coordinator for the Agriculture Workers Program, and we have 8 centers across Canada where we provide free services to farm workers that come from other countries. The service is free. We do everything from workers' compensation, unemployment insurance, civil action suits against their employers for not looking after them.
You have 8 centers within Canada. I guess it could be considered a national issue, I guess.
It's a national issue here, but it's a global issue. The exporting of workers from one country to another is probably the fastest growing business that I've seen anywhere in the world. And it's amazing. We used to talk about the maquiladoras in Mexico, that the Mexican workers were being mistreated there. Well, the Mexican workers left the maquiladoras and they're now bringing Asian workers in there. So it seems just ironic that these workers have to come here either illegally or in these temporary foreign worker programs, but yet money and produce can travel back and forth freely without any criticism or regulation whatsoever. So it's okay for food and money to travel freely, but people can't. Isn't that weird?
Definitely. And yeah, I guess these events are great for bringing up these kind of issues.
Just a Cup for Migrant Workers does a lot of work as a collective. UFCW Canada, you can go to our website, ufcw.ca, go to the Agriculture Workers Campaign. We have updates on a weekly basis. The ability of people to be able to move from country to country, border to border, without all these restrictions and regulations is a huge issue for a lot of people. And I think it's a growing concern more and more each day.
So thanks for talking with us, and thanks for giving us that information. I'm sure to check it out.
Thank you very much, and viva la casa.
CKLN 88.1 FM with Aaron Diaz, director of Migrants.
Yeah, well, this movie, Migrant, Those Who Come From Within, I did in Mexico. And I did because I think there's many problems in the program. So I would like that the immigrants have a better life.
It was a very well done documentary, very emotionally powerful. And how did you feel tonight's discussion and screening went?
Oh my goodness, I feel excited and really happy because came a lot of people, and I discovered that many people knows about the program and they want to do something to give them better life. So I'm so exciting and so grateful to the Canadians that are see the Mexican as a humans, not as a machines. We have to divide the borders, you know? We have to see to each other as a humans, not as a Mexican or workers or owners of the farms, or, you know, we have to see to each other as a humans.
You mentioned in the discussion that you're planning on making a sequel or a follow-up set in Canada?
Yeah, well, hopefully I'm going to stay here for 6 months because I got a scholarship for the university, National University of Mexico, UNAM. So I'm thinking write my thesis and also make another movie, but the movie in the greenhouses, you know? And I would like that the owners of the farms talk and share the experience, also the groups that are working here, and of course the migrant workers. So I would like to give the microphones to different people involved in this program. So I think it's gonna be finished at the end of this year.
Thanks a lot for talking with us. We'll look out for more in the future, and it was really a great movie.
No, thank you very much.
We're reporting for CKLN with Janet McLaughlin. And I was just wondering how you thought tonight went.
Well, I thought the film was excellent. It was a very special film in the sense that it allowed migrant workers themselves to share their stories with their own words. So we were really able to see migrant workers in their own homes in Mexico talking about their experiences. And the discussion after, I thought, was very profound. The audience was very engaged with the issues. There was a very deep sense that people are concerned about these workers that return from Canada sick and injured or in some other way having a negative consequence because of their experience in Canada. And there were a lot of really great questions asked and a lot of really interesting answers. Different people might be able to add certain skills like translating documents or helping out with benefit applications or educating workers about their rights. Another thing any individual can do without getting involved too heavily is simply to call their MPs or MPPs to write letters demonstrating that they are concerned about the issues relating to migrant workers, or with the elections coming up, they can show up and ask questions to the candidates and ask them about their knowledge of these issues and what are they planning to do to address them. I happen to come across this issue by someone simply telling me about it. And when I went on the internet and did some research, I realized that no one had actually done research on health and safety and compensation issues affecting the migrant agricultural workers in Canada. And it seemed like a very pertinent topic because there are so many different health and safety issues that they experience. And then there are so many barriers to accessing healthcare, compensation, other forms of insurance when they do get sick or injured. So it just seemed like a very pertinent topic at a very pertinent time when Canada is expanding its migration programs to analyze this issue in a more serious way.
Definitely. Discussions and films like this are great at bringing this issue to light.
Well, before social change can take place, we first need to be informed about the issues. And so with my research, as well as the film, which documents a lot of the case studies that I've been following, the point is to engage with enough public dialogue that changes in policy start to happen. Because if people aren't talking about the issues, there's no pressure to change the issues. And if people really come together as, you know, Canadians, Mexicans, people of Caribbean descent and others, if we come together as one and demand change, that's when change can happen. So all of these initiatives that we do as either groups or academics or filmmakers are part of that same struggle and unity to try and make those changes happen.